Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. All of us know the stresses of coping with the rapid changes in our lives. Our guest reporter, Andrew Solomon, has written about one of those stresses and how it takes its toll, depression. Remarkably, not only did Mr. Solomon's book, The Noonday Demon, win the National Book Award, he also manages not to be depressing about depression. While depression is widely experienced, it's also surprisingly misunderstood. Even physicians can be shockingly ill-informed. When Mr. Solomon suffered a dislocated shoulder, the emergency room doctors treating him were openly hostile to factoring in Mr. Solomon's clinical depression.
Part of what's shocking, I think, is that because we know so much more than we used to, people think we know most of what there is to know. Our understanding of depression is very primitive. We don't really know what's gone wrong. We have no idea why it's gone wrong. We don't know what the vulnerabilities were that made it possible for it to go wrong before it went wrong. And we certainly don't know what we really need to do to make it all right. We're still using sledgehammers in our attempts to repair very tiny, delicate troubles and problems.
Andrew Solomon is a writer and a reporter. His bestseller, The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression, won the National Book Award. Educated at Yale and Cambridge universities, Mr. Solomon writes regularly for The New York Times Magazine, as well as The New Yorker and Artform. He is author of The Irony Tower, Soviet Artists in a Time of Glasnost, and a novel which was a finalist in the Los Angeles Times First Fiction Award. Intrigued by both the secrecy usually associated with depression and how closely linked depression seems to be to changing times, Bill Russell and I were pleased to welcome Andrew Solomon. Together, we set out to confront the noonday demon. Andrew Solomon, as I devoured the noonday demon, I kept in mind that you had subtitled your book, An Atlas of Depression. But by the time that I was done with it, I was pretty clear that this was not an atlas of depression. You had presented me an atlas of humanity. Did you know when you started into this the enormity of what you were about?
Well, to some extent, I think I did. I felt as though most of the books that were around about depression were quite narrow in their focus, and I thought what was needed was not so much some new group of insights, but an intelligent synthesis of all the different ideas that were floating around. So that was really my objective. But of course, the more I worked on it, the more material I found, and the more I did. And I periodically get a letter from someone who'll say, why didn't you deal with this particular obscure corner or that particular obscure corner? I say, I had to stop someplace. But yes, I felt ultimately that by investigating the quality of depression, I was really asking fundamental questions about what human beings are and why we have emotions and what those emotions are.
In some ways, the book seems sort of like depression itself. Depression, as you represent it, appears to be many, many, many different kinds of things. In some ways, the word seems to describe, you know, sort of an endpoint for which there are many ways to get there. And the book itself is, you look at it from so many different perspectives, and each perspective has a different perspective, whether it's from an evolutionary standpoint or a chemical standpoint, a therapy standpoint. Did you intend that, or did this sort of grow as you worked your way into it?
You know, the field is overcrowded with people who are patriots for their own particular standpoint, and I felt as though I listened to debates all the time. Is depression really chemical? Is it really psychological, philosophical? They were debates that seemed to me to be ridiculous. The idea that you had to come up with a correct vocabulary for describing depression seemed obviously reductive. It's such a strange and complicated state when you're in it, and you need to have multiple vocabularies that all function simultaneously in order to try to begin to get an approximation of what it's like.
And what you've just said also describes what I took, at least, as what you have to do to get out of it.
Yes. I think you have to attack it from all fronts at once. I think people who try to attack it in only one way are never really going to get a great deal better. Unfortunately, we don't have a cure for depression. What we have are a lot of treatments for depression. And the more of them you are able to avail yourself of, and the more insight you have into what's happening to you, the better your chances are of pulling out.
Our guest is Andrew Solomon. We've only just gotten started. We're going to be back shortly with the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted that Mr. Solomon is here with us to talk about a cheery subject, depression. Please be with us when we return.